Okay, there was an argument between Rami and the Chachamim in the Mishnah. If somebody says, I trust my father is a judge, your father is a judge, the cattle guys is a judge. So Rami says you could change your mind. The question, and the Chachamim hold you can't. So the question, when does Rami say you could change your mind? Before the final decision or even after the final decision? So Amar Shlokish, the Shlokish said, the Machlekes between the Chachamim and Rami. If a litigant, Chav Dalet Amid Beis, Chav Dalet Amid Beis, 10 lines above from the top of the page. The Machlekes is before the verdict was rendered. Avalach Gmadin Divrakul in Yochel. Okay? But after the decision, everybody says he can't change your mind. I mean, I made a decision, right? How can you go change your mind?
That one of the litigants?
Litigants could change your mind. The Biechen Amar, no. La'achah Gmadin Machlekes. The Machlekes is after the decision was made. But the Gemara is right away going to ask, how about before the decision? What's the din about that? Iboilu. So the question is according to Rabbi Yechanan. La'achah Gemara din Machlekes. Is the argument after the final decision? Avle Gemara, Gemara din, Divrei HaKol Yochel Achzbei. But before Gemara din, even the Chachamim hold you could change your mind? Oidilma Bein Bezu, Bein Bezu Machlekes. Meaning like this. The Shlaki said, the whole argument is only before the judgment. After the judgment, everybody says you cannot change your mind. Comes along Rabbi Yechanan and said, no, the argument is after Gemar Din. The question is, does that mean before Gemar Din, everybody says you could change your mind? Or there was no difference before or after? Even before is also Machlekes. That's the question. So Gemara says, Tashma, come we'll answer it. Tamar Rava said, it says in the Braise, that's not in the Braise, Rav himself said, Kibbal Olav Kari V'Pasol, if a person accepted upon himself somebody who is a relative or somebody who's Pasol to be a judge, Lefnei Gvar Din Yochel Lachzebe, before Gmar Din he could change his mind, La'acha Gmar Din Ein Yochel Lachzebe, after Gmar Din he can't. Okay, now the Gemara says like this. So Rav said a din, okay, and the Gemara doesn't want to say it's a third opinion, but Rav says, before Gemar Din, you could change your mind. After Gemar Din, you can't.
You mean the Eidin that you chose?
The litigant could change his mind.
About the Eidin.
Right. So he says like this, if you sing a Kohen Rabbi Yechanan, the argument is only after the judgment. Before the judgment, you could change your mind. So Rava, the Amr, Rabbi Yechanan, Alibi the Rabbanan. So then Rava says, like the Chachamim, according to Rabbi Yechanan, that after Gemar Din, right, you cannot change your mind, like the Chachamim say. But Eli Amr, Bein Bezu, Bein Bezu, Machleik is, but if you hold that in both cases, according to Rabbi Yechanan, the argument is before Gemar Din. And after Gemar Din, meaning the Chachamim hold, before Gemar Din, you could change your mind. After Gemar Din, you can't. Rava, Dama, come on. Who does Rava hold like? Because Rava says, Rabbechon and Shlokish agree that Chachamim hold, according to that, before Gemar Din, you cannot change your mind. What does Shlokish say? The argument is before Gemar Din. Right? That means a Chachamim hold, you can't. But Rava said before Gemar Din, you could. So like, who is Rava going according to? So if you say Rabbi Yechanan is only speaking after Gemar Din, but before Gemar Din, everybody says you could change your mind. Right? Then Rava holds like the Chachamim. That before Gemar Din, you could change your mind. After Gemar Din, you can't. But if you tell me before Gemar Din, they still argue, well, who does Rav hold like? You don't think nobody.
Change your mind about
so Gemar says, Shema Mino, it's a good proof.
But who's the judge?
Or, no, if it's a accepted 18. By himself. 18. No, is it judge or it doesn't matter, either way.
Either judge or any
judgment or not.
Right. Now, Rav says, before Gemar Din, you can change your mind. After Gemar Din, you can't. Now, so according to the Shlokish, that for sure doesn't make sense. Because Reish Lakish says the argument is before Gemar Din. That means Reish Lakish, you cannot change your mind. Rav says you could. Correct? Now, if you say Rabbi Yechanan holds that the argument is only after Gemar Din, then the Chacham hold no, and Meir hold yes, but before Gemar Din, everybody says you could change, so then Rava makes sense. Because Rava holds before Gemar Din you could change your mind, which is everybody's opinion. After Gemar Din you cannot, like Chacham, not like Rav Meir.
What's the heaven minute to say that after Gemar Din you can change your mind? I mean, he was accepted this judgment. Obviously, if you don't like his judgment, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what Rav Meir holds. But according to Rav Yechanan and Lepoil, before Gemar Din,
everybody
says you can change your mind. After Gemar Din, according to the Shlokish, according to the Chacham, you could also change your mind.
Why?
Because the fact that you accepted it doesn't mean anything. Because Leperel Alpidin, is he kosher or not? He's not.
No.
Karev Apostle.
Oh, actually, this was a.
Not to accept his stuff.
It would be normally in a civil court, you would have an appeal, right? That's what it is, because you're appealing the ruling. Is that.
No. You're not appealing the ruling, you're invalidating the person.
Invalidating the ruling.
The person. You're not invalidating the ruling.
The
invalidating the person.
Mm.
And he is a relative. In other words, Rav Meir holds, yes, you can accept a non-kosher judge. Yeah? And if you accept him, you could still change your mind, even after Gemar Din, according to the Rish Lakish.
So what's the point? Why should there be any credence to such a...
In case you didn't change your mind. Lepel, is the guy a kosher guy?
No, it's not. Midoraita, it's you cannot have a car. Why even we have a... Why did they accept it? I don't understand.
Because by monetary things, you can have a right to accept it. But the mayor holds that only if you accept it, if you stay with it. If you change your mind, that's it.
But it's against the writer. How can you ask monetary? You can
monetary laws, you can go against Taito. We learned that. Kol Tanai Sheba Mamon, any condition in monetary things, you can go against the Taito.
It's not a condition. This is the write out. You are saying you are accepting a korov. It's not a. It doesn't say if I accept him, then this.
You know, a guy is a shemer chinam, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's potter from stealing or lost, right? Can the lender or not the lender, the guy that's giving the shemer chinam something to watch? Can he say, "I want you to have a din of a shoyl"?
Borrower.
Yeah, and therefore you chai for everything.
Is that a shoyl?
But can he say, I want you to have a din of a shoyl? The Gemara says, Masna Shem Mechinam li eske shoyl. The guy can make a condition. Either Torah says Shem Mechinam is potter, and stolen or lost, but you can make monetary issues, you can go.
So it's not a condition. You can actually change the law.
Right. But Rav Meir holds, even though you changed the law and you accepted him, you could still change your mind afterwards.
Based on a certain premise.
No, just I just don't like what he said. And he happens to be a relative.
Is it because you can go back to the Torah law? Is that what he holds?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what he holds. Because since the Torah says it anyway, so...
Since the Torah says he's not kosher, you can later say he's not kosher.
Okay, so that makes sense.
Not really. If you accepted him, and you're accepting him, then it should be Torah law. That's what a Chacham holds. You can't change your mind. Anyway, let's see. The Gemara says like this: Shalach le Rav Nachman, Rav Chisda, Rav Nachman Yaakov. Rav Nachman, Rav Chisda asked this question to Rav Nachman Yaakov. He said, "Tell us what the din is." Ya'amdeinu Rabbeinu, Rabbi teach us. Lifnei Gemar Din Machlekes, Elachim Din Machlekes. It says like Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish. What's the story? Balochik Divrei Mi, and who's Balochik like? Rav Meir the Chachamim. Shalach le, he answered. La'achek Gemar Din Machlekes. The machlekes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim is only after Gemar Din, okay? And Allah is like the Chachamim that you cannot change your mind. But before the verdict, you could change your mind. Everybody holds you could change your mind, even the Chachamim. But after the verdict, the Meir says you can still change your mind. The Chacham says you cannot change your mind. Allah is like the Chacham. So Gemar says Rav Ashi Amar, no, that wasn't the question. Shachi Shalach, this was the question of Nachma Yitzchak about Rav Chisda asked of Nachma Yaakov. Did he say, Be'etein Lach Machlekes? Is it speaking about the plaintiff who said it? Or B'mochel Lach Machlekes? Again, the same question was the defendant or the plaintiff. Ba'alachik Divrei Mi. Who's Alachalek? Shalach Le, he said, Be'ete Lach Machlekes, the dispute concerns when I will give you, meaning the defendant, and Alocha Zek De Chachamim. That's the way they learned the Gemara in Surah. In Pumpadisa, Amen Avchanina Bashlamya, Shalchalim Bebei Rav Lishmol, they sent from Rav Yishiva to Shmol, Yilamdeinu, it seems that Rav passed away already, Lamdeinu Rabbeinu, Lefnei Gemar Din, V'konu Miyadei Mai. Oh, what happens if the guy made a kinyan with him not to retract? In other words, like this, all of this so far was the guy said, I accept him.
Well,
but he never made a kinyan on the acceptance.
Sign and signature?
No, just even picking up a handkerchief or something. I'll explain this whole thing in a second. So he says, what happens if the guy accepted it, the judge, but and he made a kinyan? So it says, Shalachu, they answered back, Ein lach a kinyan klum. Once you make a kinyan, that's it. And I'll give you an example. This is done today, by the way. When you go to a Besdin today, yeah, you sign a shtar beiridin. You sign a shtar that I appoint these three rabbis to be the judges in the case, right? Even if one side picks one, the other side picks one, the two pick a third, the bottom line is, there's a shtar, it's called shtar beiridin. That officially I pick these three people as it. Now, why can't I change my mind? Before the verdict, I should be able to change my mind.
You sign it.
When you see where it's going, I'm signing that I accept you guys as judges.
Mm-hmm.
But if you hold before Gemar Din, everybody could change their mind.
Oh.
So if a litigant sees, oh, it's not going too well in my favor, so I back it off.
Before the verdict.
Before the verdict.
Yeah.
He could tell already in the dispute how it's going, in negotiations how it's going. That's why what Bezdin does today, they make a kinyan with each litigant. They give him a pen to pick up or a handkerchief to pick up. So if me and you are in a dentator, the Bezdin, not only do we sign that I accept these three, yeah, but the Bezdin makes me pick up a pen or a handkerchief, and they make you pick up a pen or a handkerchief, that I'm making a kinyan that I accept these three people, and like Shmuel says here, that's it, you can never change your mind. Even before Gemar Din.
Stronger than signing?
Yep.
Otherwise, it just goes on
forever and ever. Yeah, I don't like the ruling. That's it.
But after
talking about the non-kosher witness, not kosher judge, but the real kosher judge, you cannot change your mind. You don't have cause to change.
It doesn't matter. Under any cases, once you make a kinyan, you can't change your mind.
Rabbanu, where is this concept of kinyan come from?
Of?
The kinyan.
Torah speaks about it. Oikonum Yadam Isecha. Torah speaks about kinyan. But the Chachamim, and basically we learned in Kedushin, all the various different kinyanim to acquire certain things have to be done in a certain way, which is the normal way of acquiring it. In other words, a cow, yeah, nobody's going to be acquiring a cow by picking it up. It's not the normal way of acquiring a cow. Okay? How do I show that the ownership of the cow goes from me to you? Right? So you pull the animal to you, 6 feet to 4 amos. That shows that I'm giving it over to you. Right? Land you acquire with money.
But also you have to walk in the land a little bit?
No, that's kesef shtar or chazaka.
Money is enough, or shtar is enough.
Kesef, shtar, or chazaka.
Either or.
Either or. If I sell you land and you go make a fence around the land, or make a hole in the land that shows that it's your land, you can do whatever you want with it, that's a kinyan even if we didn't give it. I have to pay money separately, it's a debt. There's a Tazan Cheshem Mishpat that says, if I buy from you $1,000 piece of land, right? And I put the down payment, I don't give you $1,000, I put down a dollar. Yeah? The Taz holds, that dollar acquires the field. And $999 becomes a debt of a loan. But the Kenyan, even if I... Yeah, see, in today's world, it doesn't work like that. When you, no, if I have a mortgage, the bank owns the property, not me. The bank owns the... I don't get the deed until you pay off the mortgage.
Avinu did all three
Kenyanim concepts. With Ephraim, the Reis Parsha.
So, This is you talking that not a kosher judge or non-kosher.
Even
judge.
It doesn't matter. Kosher or not. Once you make a kinyan, that's it. You can't change.
There's no way you can renege on it?
No. Once you make a kinyan, no.
No. I mean, after Gemardim, without kinyan.
No, that's like the Chachamim anyway, you can't.
You can only... they could only say, I don't want these judges anymore, only if they're, you find they're korovim, but if they're not related to you, you can't just say, I don't want.
Correct. Correct.
So why would a Beit Din have to give a kinyan nowadays to the people?
The guy anyway to say, I don't accept you. Whatever.
Why? He can't say that unless you're a relative.
He'll find something wrong with them, maybe.
What would you have to find wrong? Like they're not showing Shabbos?
They're not the honest face, whatever.
Yeah. It says,
or the bias to one side.
Oh, as long as they're biased
to
one side also.
Yeah. Okay, next mission is very interesting about gamblers and corrupt people, if there can be judges or witnesses.
Oh, ladies.
Huh?
Ladies also.
No. Here, glad that the Mishnah doesn't talk about women. Here it talks about sinners. Okay, Veilein Apsulin. Okay? These are non-kosher witnesses, and judges, by the way, both, the same thing. Hamesachah Bikuvya, one that plays with dice, meaning a gambler.
There was dice at that time?
Sure. Yeah. Well, it wasn't exactly like, we have today, but yeah.
They used the bones.
Gambling was bones.
It happened just playing with dice as a game, like backgammon, or...
We'll see, by the way. By the way, the Gemara is going to explain this only if that's your profession.
Oh, awesome.
A guy goes to Vegas...
Your profession?
Make sure you take your rabbi with you, then it's under rabbinic supervision.
You mean the owner of the casino is in trouble? Is okay. Or
no.
The people that...
The owner of the casino doesn't gamble.
10%.
He doesn't gamble because gamblers lose. He's making all the money. Okay, let's see the mission. We didn't start yet. These are the psalm for judge or witness. Amasacha Bikuvya, one plays with dice, meaning gamblers. Hamalva Berib is one who lends with interest. Even to rabbis, as was mentioned last night. Mafricha, obviously, going to the Ramah, it's a mitzvah to lend a guy with in. Mafricha Yaina, pigeon flyers, it's also a type of betting. You know, they used to, huh? So Gemara explains that, but they used to pigeon race. Like they have dog races, all the...
No, in Persia, they had it.
All over.
Everybody has to. It's a recent time.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
In Iran,
no.
There's Mafriche Yonin. They're all over.
No. Here also. Besecher Shvius, people that do business with the Shemitah year when it's forbidden. Okay? In other words, these are all people that are doing Averis that disqualify you because the Torah says, Laisir eight, Rosh eight Chomas. You can't have a Rosh as a witness, right? The Pasuk says clearly. So the Gemara discusses not all Rishon. We'll see. The Gemara is going to explain what's unique about these people. Amir Ab Shimon said. By the way, that means when it says Amir Ab Shimon means he's not arguing. Ab Shimon means he's. Rab Shimon Aymer means he argues. Amir Ab Shimon. We'll see later in the Gemara also. Amr Rab Shimon means that Rab Shimon is adding. Originally, they used to call the people that did business in Shvias, Shvias gatherers. Misharabu Anasim, when the oppressors increased, then they called them Secher Shvias, merchants of Shvias. Again, the Gemara is going to explain what's Rab Shimon saying over here. Who cares? Okay, Amr Rab Yehuda. But listen to this. Amr Rab Yehuda. Again, it doesn't say Rab Yehuda Amr. Amr Rab Yehuda. Gemara is going to mention this. Bizman she'en lehem Ema say, when is this din? That the gamblers are not kosher witnesses or judges. Bizman she'en lehem umnes elohu. If that's their only business. And they're full-time professional gamblers. Ava yesh lehem umnes lehu. But if they're not, if they have other businesses too, k'shenim, then they're kosher. And as Rabbi Yehuda explains that people that are only involved in gambling, and the Gemara is going to explain why such people are not kosher. They're not kosher. Professional gamblers. But if you're a semi-professional gambler, it's okay.
Yeah, but weekend gamblers are okay.
Yes.
What about, how do you know this is not referring to someone who sells shvi's as a hobby? or as an side job.
No, the Gemara is not talking about Shvias. The Gemara is talking about gambling.
Is
only.
How do you know that it's referring to gambling, not the one that after?
Because he's talking about umnes of profession. He's not talking about what people do. We'll see in the Gemara about Shvias. The Gemara is not done yet. The Gemara is just starting. So the Gemara asks a simple question. Mitzachek b'kuvya, my cover, what did he do better? What's wrong with a gambler? Why is a gambler no good? Because he gambles, so he gambles. He's a gambler. Stock market is also a gamble.
Also a stockbroker?
No.
They are not in trouble?
Huh? Well, I mean, that's what I was going to say. This is the Gemara. You know, you always hear what's wrong with... This is the Gemara that says, what's wrong with gambling? Because it's only an asmachta. I'll explain in a second. Vasmachta leikanya, and asmachta is not binding. Okay, now, what's asmachta? Asmachta means semich. I'm relying on it. Meaning, the concept of asmachta leikanya means if I don't expect to lose, if I really expect to win. And I lose, and I give you the money, you're really stealing money from me. Because I'm not giving it willingly.
Yeah.
Nobody's giving their money that's willingly.
But business is one thing. Well, the Gemara's going to discuss, the Gemara's going to elaborate on this. So the Gemara says, why is a gambler no good? Because basically, he's stealing people's money that don't want to give it to him. Because it's an asmachta. Rav Sheshe Samar, he says no. Koki I gavna lav asmachta. The case of gambling is not an asmachta. It's really the money is valid. You have to pay the money. What's wrong with a gambler? And lefisha ein asukim b'yishuva shalelim. They're not dealing with the, like it says, the general welfare, furthering the general welfare. Okay? Now, meaning like this. People that gamble are not involved in normal business activity. They're just not involved in normal business activity. Then, therefore, they don't understand what business is all about. And if you don't understand what business is all about, how can you be a judge in it? Or a witness, for that matter? It
like
doesn't mean anything
like
to
bankers.
You.
Like bankers.
The way that it works with this is that if you're gambling with one-on-one, what happens, like, I had a neighbor of mine, he was off-track betting. That's what he used to do. He's not taking from one person and giving to the other person. He goes, they put it into a pot or something like that, and then it's divided up. Is that more, because that's considered grama and indirect, and it's allowed?
Is it like gambling a casino or not, right?
Play
no, that's
casino, not winning for people. Winning the right. Casino.
Well, you know they have now, in play, they're called bingo.
Yeah.
You know, bingo is big fundraisers for...
Church.
Yeah.
Shuls. Rebbe was adamantly against it. But halachically, it's fine.
So, off-track.
You know, the Maestas used to make $250,000 a year from bingo.
Wow.
Clean money.
Who?
Institutions. Make $250,000 a year, bingo.
But houses don't do it?
No, the Rebbe said emphatically no.
Why?
Mufrach lagami. The Rebbe didn't want it. But Abi Halacha was allowed.
What does Mufrach mean? Mufrach?
Completely out of the question.
Mufrach.
Pircha.
Oh.
Why
what?
Because
Rebbe didn't want. It's, it looks like gambling.
It smells like.
Halachically, it's not, but it smells like it. Yeah.
Rashi says something
else.
Bingo
is allowed. The casino also allowed. You can bring the casino.
What?
You can play the casino, not the
place.
Why is that?
Once in a while.
You know, a lot of Orthodox shuls make Vegas night, Monte Carlo night, Vegas night, whatever.
Oh yeah.
But I was adamantly against it. Adamantly against it. Mufrach legami means it's out of the question.
Yeah.
Don't even. It's like, don't even ask it.
Besides being for a shul, let's say it was a professional gambler going to a casino. Why is that not allowed? Because he's not taking from one person. Again, it's a whole.
One second. If you hold a vesmachta. But even a smachta means I'm giving you money that I really didn't want to give you. Because I never thought I'm going
to
lose.
You're not giving it to, you're giving it to like the slot machine.
So what? It's still, I never thought I'm going to lose to. Who's the owner of the machine? Are you giving the money to the machine?
Corporation.
This is the owner, whoever it is.
This is the trap.
Well, what is the last second part of Rashi on this?
What? David Shainan Laysim Midaita, he's not giving it willingly. Same Machal Dovod, he relies on something, Shaina, that's not. Because he thought he's going to win. In other words, he was relying on winning, and now he's losing, so he's paying money that he didn't want to pay.
What is She'eno? It is there. The money is there.
No. Rashi explains why. Why is it Eino? The Sabishu Yochel and Natzech. He thought he was going to win. And sometimes they win over him. That's the issue. By the way, Tosfos says over here, this Mishnah is only mentioning rabbinic psulim. The Mishnah, all the gamblers in this, is only rabbinically forbidden. Because the Torah doesn't say a thief, the Torah doesn't say avon, the Torah doesn't say all the things that are biblically forbidden. Right? A known liar. I mean, all these things the Mishnah is not mentioning, because the Mishnah is mentioning only the psulim midrabanan. That the Chachamim say these people can be. Because the truth of the matter is, okay, Asmachta Leikanya, it's non-binding, okay? Therefore, the winner is stealing when he collects. So if you win, you're collecting money from a guy that didn't want to give you the money, so it's rabbinically called stealing. So Gemara says, "My binayu." What's the difference between Rami Bar Chomed that says a gambler is not kosher because he's stealing rabbinically because the guy didn't want to pay you the money, or Rav Sheshes who says the reason is because you're not civilizing the world? The Ika binayu, the Gomer Umnes Achritim, where the gambler learned another profession. Okay, so. According to Rami Bar, the first one, Rami Bar Chama, he's still a gambler. Lepel is taking money without permission. Right? The other opinion, he would be good because he's socially useful. Because he learned a different profession.
Rabino?
What?
Does a gambler only get the money or it could be gambling business too?
Business is money.
But what's the question?
No, is gambling only money or business? Business is money. Why isn't business money?
Somebody's life. Gambling. Would it be risking too?
Like what? Give me an example.
Risking their life. Walk on the road.
Oh, walk.
That they're gambling with their life.
That's forbidden for other reasons, because a person's not allowed to put himself in a dangerous situation. There's nothing to do with monetary issues.
This is only monetary.
Monetary.
No, there are, let's say, with the land.
No, he's asking, can a guy jump off a roof?
But for example, buy a land, gambling the money.
That's all money.
That's business. Money. You get something.
It's all money.
Well, that's business, though.
Yeah, but that's not gambling because I expect somebody else is going to pay me and the guy doesn't want to pay me.
It's tangible, huh? It should be tangible.
Yes.
You are taking a chance on a piece of land that it may be in Las Vegas if it's good or not.
When you buy a piece of property as an investment, that's not called gambling.
It's the same thing?
No, it's not. Here I'm betting with you about something. I'm making a bet with you.
I may win.
But here I'm doing business with myself. I'm gambling with myself. What am I gambling with?
In that case, every business would be gambling.
Yeah, that's
walking in the street. Let me ask you a question. Driving a car is not gambling?
Exactly.
God forbid, who knows what can happen? Walking in the street is not a gamble. Getting up in the morning is not a gamble. It's a gamble. The whole life is a gamble.
Yeah, that's why. So it doesn't... you gamble with the money, you may win, you may lose.
But here you're gambling with somebody else. When you make a bet, you're gambling with somebody else.
I mean directly with somebody
else. Directly with somebody else. Here you're gambling with yourself.
So two people... Jews could gamble with money each other?
Well, you can't, because the Gemara says if you do it as a professionally, you're not even kosher ladies. The question is, can somebody gamble once in a while? So in Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't seem to forbid it. But in Jewish circles, it's just not done.
As a rule, gambling is a sin.
You take the guy's money. That's
correct. Yeah, but if you hold the grafshesh, not the grami by chama, the problem with gambling is not asmachta, because he says asmachta is binding. Mm-hmm. He says asmachta is kanya.
And Rabbi, if you put everything in a pot in the beginning before you gamble, that's okay?
What?
Well, you gamble for the pot.
And now, let me explain one thing. Here in 23, he goes into the whole Megillah with Rav Sheshis' opinion. Rav Sheshis says, gambling, yeah, where I know it's 50-50. Correct?
Yeah.
Gambling is normally 50-50. So Rav Sheshis says, that's not asmachta. Because you know very well you're going to lose. He said, what's according to Rav Sheshis asmachta? He says like this. One who contracts to work in his neighbor's field, that if he doesn't live up to the agreement, he's going to pay a fine. And they'll be ready by this and this day, and if not, they'll pay a knas, right? So he says, he really is confident, not 50-50. In his mind, he's 100% sure that he's going to be done on time. Right? So he's never even thinking about paying the fine. Therefore, if he doesn't finish on time and he has to pay the fine, in his mind, he doesn't want to give it away.
It's just when somebody gambles, he doesn't think he's going to win for sure. Actually, he thinks most probably he's going to lose.
Yeah.
Because that's what the odds are.
Where?
Gambling.
That's where the Fshashin's hold is not asmachta.
Can you explain what asmachta means? Asmachta means relying.
I didn't expect to pay the money. So Rabbi Bar Chama says, every gambling is asmachta.
But it's not.
1 minute. He holds it is. What do you mean it's not? He's a great man. Rabbi Bar Chama holds any gambling. I didn't expect to pay the money. I only thought I'm going to win. It's asmachta. Rav Sheshis says, that's not true. Because 50-50 doesn't mean I didn't plan to pay the money. He says, when is asmachta, which is loikanya, which is not a kenyan? He says, in a case, he brings down a few cases. One case is, I do work in your field, and I promise to be done by a certain case, by a certain date. And if not, I'll pay you a fine. In my mind, there was no question that I expected to be finished on time. Okay? Now when I didn't, I would have never made that condition. Correct? It's only something that I'm obligating myself to pay when I really never thought that I'm going to have to pay it. It's not 50-50. In my mind, I was for sure going to be finished on time. So Rav Sheshis, that's an asmachta. That's like Kanye. Or here's another case. Reuven pays 50 zuz of the 100 he owes to Shimon. Okay? And to assure Shimon that he will repay, he gives the $100 document to Levi. Okay? I owe $100. Yeah? I give you 50. And I promise you, like Jews do, I'm going to pay on time. And to show you how sure I am, I give the Levi, $100 document that you owe me. That if by this and this day you don't pay me, he's going to collect from you $100. Even though I paid 50 already. Understand? I'm so sure that I'm going to pay up the money on time, the other 50 that I owe you, I'm even making a condition that if I don't pay it up, he can collect $100 from you. Yeah? That's a smarter because I never dreamt I'm not going to pay it back on time. It's not 50-50, like gambling. The truth is gambling is not 50-50. It's 95 you'll lose and 5% you'll win.
Yeah.
What are the odds in Vegas? What do you think?
No,
it's 97%.
You have 97% chance of getting your money back.
That's what they say.
You have 97% of getting your money back?
Of not getting your money.
The money you put in, 97% of it you'll get back. So that means you're guaranteed to lose 3% of it. No, this is cheating.
At least.
So this is the argument of Rav Sheshis and Rami Bachama. What's the concept over here? And the Rama Paskins like Rav Sheshis.
Rav Sheshis was blind and he was born blind?
Doesn't seem so. Okay, and the Gemara proves Rav Sheshis is dim, by the way. So Gemara says it tonight because it says in the Mishnah like this, Amar Rav Yehuda, right? What did Rav Yehuda say? That's only when he has no other business. El avol yesh lam umnish shalei, kshedim then they're kosher, right? Alma time of the masnisin. You see, the reason of the mission is because of yeshuva shaleilim. Remember we said before, Amar Rav Yehuda means that Rav Yehuda is not arguing. Mm-hmm. He's explaining, right? So what does Rav Yehuda explain at the beginning of the Mishnah? That when is a gambler possible if he has no other profession? But if he has another profession, it's kosher, right? That's like Rav Sheshe says. Because according to Rami Bar Chama, if you're stealing, it doesn't matter if you have a different profession besides stealing. According to Rami Bar Chama, a gambler is possible because a smarta, he's stealing. Right? Because he's stealing. So what's the difference if he has another profession or not? If a guy steals 50% of his life and 50% doesn't, he's still a ganef. So you see from here clearly, like Rav Sheshes. Because Rav Yehuda explained, the reason why gamblers are no good, because he has no doing business, he's not civilizing the world. He doesn't understand the world. So the Gemara says, Kashul Rami Bar Chama. So the Gemara says, Rami Bar Chama, it's also smachta.
That's why he
holds. Right. So Gemara says, V'chi teima pligi rabbanu leod, maybe the Rabbi Yehuda is arguing on the Chachamim, and the Chachamim hold under any circumstance, it's no good. The Gemara says no, because like we just said, V'amir Rabbi Yishua ben Levi, kol makim shamei Rabbi Yehuda eimer, anytime it says Rabbi Yehuda, it says, ein masai, ubameh, ein alem elefarish divrei Chachamim. Okay? It's only to explain. The Chacham, not to argue. Rabbi Yechanan says, a masai lefarish, when he says a masai, Rabbi Yehuda says a masai means to explain, and b'mer to argue. But kula amr, everybody says a masai, both Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Yishua ben Levi say, when Rabbi Yehuda says a masai, means he's explaining. And that's what it says in our Mishnah. So obviously, Rav Yehuda is not arguing on the Chachamim. So if that's the case, it's a proof to Rav Sheshes that says the reason why gamblers are no good because they're not occupying themselves in the civilization of the world.
I thought you said it's Amar Rav.
Huh?
You said it's, if it says Amar Rav, it's
no, a Mosei.
So it doesn't have to be the Amar Rav or
right.
Rav.
Well, not according to them, it's a Mosei.
So just to clarify, according to the first opinion, since he defines it as stealing, so any amount you do, even if you have a job,
correct,
it disqualifies.
Correct.
According to the second opinion, it's not this stealing. It's gnevis das. It's not according to the yeshiva.
Because you don't understand civilization. Yeah. But if you have another job,
you are civilized. You do have a
then you are civilized, right?
So, like, if through gambling you're able to give tzedakah or give money for a shul, then it should be okay.
Well, even if not, as long as you have a regular job.
No, why? I'm saying it's yeshuv haaretz.
If you only do gambling and you're doing
money of chilul Shabbos is allowed.
No.
So how do you take money from people that are not Shomer Shabbos?
Most of the money is not.
What's the answer? Who said you're taking the money? They worked made on Shabbos.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe you're taking the money that they worked on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Right?
Yeah.
Or if somebody has a trade for business, you know, I don't mean trade for chazer, I mean, you know, shady business. Who says that's the only money they have? Is that the only? How do you know they have other? They have other money too. How do you know what you're taking is that money? That's the way it works.
You know, last night he said if somebody steals your money, give them credit, they don't pay you back. Did he consider it as tzedakah?
If they're poor,
if they're not,
what tzedakah is? If you give money to a rich man, it's not tzedakah.
Giving him money,
he needs it. Maybe he needs it.
He needs the money at that.
Maybe
point.
He's.
No, that's only Gemilah. So Tzedakah is not to rich people. We said, the other time we said, if a guy's in Shul and he needs money for the Pushka, we mentioned yesterday, by Mincha.
Yeah.
So what that itself, because right now he's poor.
What if his business goes bankrupt?
He's poor.
There's no bankruptcy in Halacha, by the way.
In Halacha?
It owes you a few
$100,000.
What if you don't have money to pay?
One second. In bankruptcy, in civil law means I don't have to pay the money, correct?
No, you
it's about chapter 11 or chapter 7.
Depend, yeah.
Okay, But if it's normal bankruptcy, if it's real, right, the real bankruptcy, then you don't have to pay.
So,
right?
So, he doesn't have money, he doesn't want to pay. What's wrong with
that? They tell the story, a guy came to the rabbi and he was having a he was losing all his money, he had no money. So the rabbi said, go to the ocean, take a chumash, and the wind, you know, by the ocean will turn the pages. Wherever the page lands, that's your answer. A few weeks later, the rabbi sees the guy, he's happy, he's in a great mood. So the rabbi said, what happened? He said, I did exactly what you did, told me to do. And he said, I opened the book, it was chapter 11. I declared bankruptcy and everything was good. But there's no concept of bankruptcy in halacha. In bankruptcy, if you declare,
if you don't,
in Torah you still owe nothing. You don't have it, but if you get it one day, in civil law, if I declare bankruptcy, that the court says I don't have to pay it back. A minute later, I win the lottery. I don't have to pay back. In Torah, you have to pay back. There's no such thing as bankruptcy.